Welcome to the CCI Sunday podcast presented by CCI Plus. Download our free app at communitychurchinternational.org. We'll start in just a moment, but first I want to invite you to stop by on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and worship with us, listen to a powerful message, and enjoy the company of some friends. We are 1 mile east of the college on Highway 1 in Thief River Falls, Minnesota. We hope to see you soon.
What is his real will? If you don't know, you know what stress comes? Is I don't know. I don't know what God wants to do. I don't know what he has for me. I don't know. Yeah, I'd be pretty stressed out too. But the Lord speaks to his people. And he says, this is my intention. And it's always, that's why we love Dave Wagner. It comes but says, this is my intention. This is what I want to bring you up to. Right? And I'm breaking off this so that we can build this in our lives. Amen? But be wise, taking most of every opportunity. Do we take the most of every opportunity? Hallelujah, Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit of God. Come on. Here we are here, Lord God, in your presence, Lord, and we are looking and we are listening, Father God, for your word and direction as Danny was praying, God, that you would speak to us. God, that your Holy Spirit is here to give us wisdom and understanding in the season that we're in. And God, give us direction and sometimes even correction to draw us to you, Lord God, so that we may know the season we're in and to step up and rise up, take hold of Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's something that reminds me this time of year every time it comes when times change. And you ask yourself a question. Why? Right? Why? And it's not so bad when you get the extra hour. What we have a problem with, and I do, is when you have to give it back. So I'm starting a petition. Why? But you know what? We drove up this morning, and I said, man, there are a lot of cars here this morning. We had one of the biggest Bible studies we ever had this morning. That was fantastic, wasn't it, Trish? That was awesome. So praise the Lord. But yeah, that's what I have here is a big question mark. Why? And I tried looking it up. And, you know, back in the day when people had lanterns, we don't have lanterns anymore, right? We have electricity. But it seemed to be back in the day when people had to spend money on fuel oil and lanterns in their buggies or horses or carriages. When they got up in the morning, they wanted to, you know, light the lamps and then go out. But they wanted to save money, so they wanted to get up when the sun comes up and save the time so you don't have to burn so much fuel in your lanterns. But we don't do that anymore. But it's funny how we carry something for so long and nobody knows why. I just figured I'd get that off my chest this morning. I'm in the spirit. I am in the spirit on this. You know, the Lord speaks to us through his prophets. In Amos 5:7, it says, God doesn't do anything without first speaking to his prophets. So God is intentional. Say, God is intentional. So he wants to let us know what he's up to. And we started this year. In November, we had some prophetic words shared over this house about the coals and the fire. The Lord is saying, hey, this is where I'm at, and we're going to build altars, and we're going to redig the wells, right? And for the last 3-4 months, we have been pressing in on this. And it came to me when we said, you know what? The coals are here, but God is fanning the flame, and we're all getting excited. Praise the Lord, the fire's coming. And then he brought me to the scripture. He says, I am like a refiner's fire. And I stopped, and I said, oh. I'm glad you're all laughing. I hope you're laughing after all of this, too. But he's saying these things because he's like a refiner's fire. And there is refining going on, I'm telling you, in my life, and I know in your life right now, God is refining us because he's wanting to perform what he said he was going to do. So I want to go back to some of the prophetic word that he spoke to, because I feel like we're in process. We were talking this morning about our children, and Jenny and I were talking about a process that we were going through. And there's times where you're in your home and you're having financial questions, you're having relational questions, and you're discussing that with your wife or somebody in that. And in the background, Hazel goes, "Trust God, trust the process." She did. And she didn't know what we're talking about, but she was back there, and also she gets the word from the Lord. She goes, "Trust God and trust the process." And I felt the presence of God fall in there. Now, I don't know about you or what you're at or what you're going through. I don't know all of you. But are you in a situation where God is asking you to trust him and trust his process? Could you raise your hand so I'm not the only one? Thank you. Okay. I told you months ago that I wanted to do this with you guys. Don't come watch me burn. I hope you guys are all burning too. But he is. Come on. Spirit, soul, and body. So I wanna come in here and revisit this, because how many times you get a prophetic word and you just forget about it? And in that prophetic word, or what God is speaking, he's being intentional. He's saying, keep this in mind. And we talked about the prophetic words is how we do battle. We remember what God said. And how quickly the enemy tries to rob us of our identity or what his intentions are for this place and what we're doing here. So when I realized that what the enemy was trying to steal in my life and in this place, in your life, in my life, is he trying to rob the destiny that God has for you, because he knows he has a way, I always go back and say, okay, what did God say? When I get caught up in a little bit of warfare, when I get caught up in situation, I always go back and say, Lord, what did you speak to me? What did you say? And I'm so thankful for a house where we're open to God speaking and the prophetic words. And Lynn come in a few months ago, well, back in January, and this is towards the end of it. He said, I saw a bright light, a beam coming, shining from heaven down to earth. And the Lord said, I am sending a visitation into the earth, and this visitation will bring much healing to those who encounter it. And I will bring renewal and new life, says the Lord. This light will infuse the hearts of men for a season, and there will be an open door for the gospel. Just as quickly as I saw it open, and the light released, the door was shut, and the light dissipated. The Lord says, the time is short, and the church must be ready. For now, says the Lord, I am not through working, but you will see a manifest hand, my sovereign hand and power moving in this place, from this place, says God Almighty. Watch what the Lord will do. Whew. And I thought about time, because I know we all thought about it this morning. The timing of God. I want to go to the scripture here in Ephesians 5. Would you please go with me to there? I think it's so timely what God is doing and the moment of time that God is doing this. That word time and season just impressed on my heart, because I believe God is showing things and revealing things, and he's shedding light on things. And I hate to say it, sometimes you remind yourself is that we've asked this from God. We've asked the Lord for miracles. We've asked the Lord to move. But we as a people have a responsibility. When you sit down and you pray for hours and you don't act out something in faith when he tells you to move, because there's timing. And I want to go over this because this is so important, and I think it's so significant to the season that we live in. But verse 5, it says, just as in Christ God forgave you, follow God's example, chapter 5, verse 1. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of any greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should you there be any obscenity, foolish talk, come on, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Come on, where is thanksgiving? Where is thanksgiving? Where is thanksgiving in my voice? Where is it, Tom? Where is being thankful? Come on. We don't understand the warfare that is going on sometimes. But I don't know about you, in the last 2-3 weeks, I have encountered and I have faced more warfare in my life personally and others that I've ever seen probably in any time. And there is a battle going on. You said, why? Because God is shedding light. Jesus is shedding light on things. And he's revealing to us where the enemy has come. And I noticed right away in my talk, in my mouth. Oh, good. You talking to me? I haven't seen you in a while. Okay, good. Okay, yes. But in my own mouth. In my own mouth. Where the devil and the enemy has used your own mouth against you. We have a generation, and I curse joking around, things like that, and we've allowed our mouth to run and run and run and run. But how God is revealing how damaging that can really be to a generation. How that damaging that could be for myself and my own self-esteem and all that. And he's revealing, he says, so one quick way to do it is I stop one day and we're looking at all the things that aren't right, and I stop being thankful for the things that I've had. And we sing in this morning, oh, what a Savior. Oh, I'm going to sing of the goodness of God. Not right now, I'm not. You know, in yourself. Because I stopped being thankful. And how thankfulness sanctifies me. How thankfulness for what God has given me sanctifies all that I have. It protects what I have. It values what I have. It appreciates what I have. I'm so thankful. But then when I begin to release the other part, I begin to curse what I have. I get to bring a condemnation to what I have. Because I'm troubled with what I have. I'm no longer thankful. I'm talking to me. Because he caught me and he slapped me in the spirit. And I didn't even feel like praying. Right? You're so worked down. Me and Dave are working this thing. You're so worked down that you don't even feel like praying. And I just begin to talk to God and say, you know what, I am thankful. I'm thankful for my home. I'm thankful for my family. You know, I really am thankful for Jesus. I really am. And I just had this heart of thankfulness to start to come in me. And it started breaking down all this crud in my own heart. And he started working it and doing it. This is what Paul's talking about. Right? But a place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure. No immoral or impure or greedy person, such a person is an idolatry. You know, you think back in the Old Testament about idols. Oh, I don't put a statue up in my house. I do not. But last week we talked about traps. And how many times we run to the television or run to those things and make certain things a priority over God. And he's showing us what altars we've built and allowed in our own homes concerning our time, concerning what you're focused on. He's showing us. So we're tearing that down and we're building it. And one of them was this daily reading Bible. He said, you know what, we're going to do this. Every family could take 5 to 10 minutes and sit down with their kids. Right? Can I do that as the head of my home? Can I say, you know what? We're going to do this because this needs to happen here. Because there is a connection that your kids need with the Father. The biggest thing that's causing the issues in this generation is a disconnect between love, a disconnect between relationships, a disconnect. They've isolated themselves, spirit, soul, and body, totally from the outside and from their Father God in heaven. And a priority has to be reestablished to who God is and who God can be in our lives. Amen? So we're tearing down idols in our home, in our very own home. I'm infuriated that I have allowed the enemy to come in my own home. You should be too. You should be too. You've allowed the enemy to come. You let them be on cell phones. You let them be on video games for an obscene amount of time. And when I got the timer on there, I go, whoa, what about my time when I'm on the phone or working on something on the work-orientated and using that as an excuse? Am I serving my work or am I serving my God? Which one? Amen. Come on. Tom, you asked for this. I don't know if I did. Anybody that has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Why? Because I've allowed this altar to be my priority. And I'm not pulling down heaven into my situation. That's my inheritance. And the enemy's trying to steal your inheritance. Woo! Come on. Come on. Let no one. This is a choice. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you once were in the darkness, but now you are in the light. Come on, we just talked about the light. So what do we do? Live as children of the light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Come on. Love, joy, peace, healings, miracles. These are my inheritances. This is the fruit that comes. Come on. I need this in my home. This is my inheritance. The enemy is trying to rob it. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds. Do we have fruitless deeds? He's fine-tuning. He's refining me. Come on. It's for my benefit. The Lord says he loves those. Come on. So do I want this? Yes.
No.
Yes. No. Right? You have this war going on. Do I want this? Yes, I do. No, I don't. Get off of that thing. You know, I don't know. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds, darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes the light. Come on, what is he doing? He's sanctifying us. He's cleansing us. He's burning off the junk so that we may embrace what? Who we are in Christ. I am crucified in Christ, nevertheless I live. I have the illumination power of Jesus in my heart. That is my source. I do not need to draw off any other well, Lord, for happiness and joy. That alcohol well is dead. Drugs, dead. Addictions, dead. Right? They're dying out there. And anything you've invested in those things at the end of the day is dead. Woo. Didn't mean to go so heavy that fast on that, but it's true. And we're seeing it. Why? Because God's shedding light on it. And we're seeing what's happening. But this is why it said, wake up. Tom, this morning, wake up. The time is now. I don't like the time change. Doesn't matter. Wake up. I don't like all that's happening in the world. I get it. But you are sons and daughters of the light. Shine the light. Shine the light. Right? So that what? They may be illuminated and become the light. Rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. Right? Be careful then. Be careful. Say be careful. That how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. I have had so many prayers last week asking for wisdom. Because I see a need and then I say, God, I need to know what you think about this part in my life right now. God, I need wisdom. Right now, we shed the light and we see a problem. But what we need is solutions. We need the heaven to come and invade and to touch areas. You tear down an altar, but you also have to build one up. You can cut things away, but there has to be an engrafting. Do you understand? You have to live on something. You need to draw a well from somewhere. Right? So you need to shed light on it. Say, this is no good, but this is good. I hear enough of the no good. I love Christians. They're experts in everything bad. Come on, you guys. It's all you talk about. Right? You are. We can be. But are we experts in what is right? Right?
Come on. Yes, people know what you're against, but do they know what you're for? What are you trying? What are you doing? How did Jesus come and make the difference in my life? Well, I was a mess, but I tore down that altar and I built a new one. I got broken from drugs and alcohol and I became addicted to the Holy Spirit. Come on. Is that true? Did I make that up? No. It's true for all of us. You gave up this and you put this up. He shined light to illuminate. We get so scared sometimes about being shining the light on something because of what this meant. When you're bad, you're punished, you're going to get a whooping, so hide. Hide from the church, hide from all those around you. What does that cause? Isolation. Because who in their right mind want to admit to something and they put on the whipping pole for 5 minutes or whatever it takes? Do I want to do that? No, I'm not talking to you. And I'm not going to confess. But that, he said, let no one what? Deceive you. This is deception. Illuminate the light. What is the church supposed to be? What am I supposed to be as a father? Message of the gospel of hope and freedom, not fear and punishment. Right? Not fear and punishment. Did Jesus go to the cross? Did he take care of all of that? Did he or did he not? So why are we looking to punish people? Why are we looking to make them suffer because they did something wrong? To teach them a lesson. It's hell. It already, you think kids are going through hell? Yes. The pain of mental anguish? It's horrible. I thought I had stress growing up. It's different. It's so much more intense. I need some light here. I need some light here. Shine where I have come into alignment with the devil with my mouth. Show me that I might tear that down and build another one, what he was just saying. Let's read on. Be careful then how you live, not unwise but wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand, come on, understand what the Lord's will is. What is his real will? If you don't know, you know what stress comes? Is I don't know. I don't know what God wants to do. I don't know what he has for me. I don't know. Yeah, I'd be pretty stressed out too. But the Lord speaks to his people. And he says, this is my intention. And it's always, that's why we love Dave Wagner. It comes but says, this is my intention. This is what I want to bring you up to. Right? And I'm breaking off this so that we can build this in our lives. Amen? But be wise, taking most of every opportunity. Do we take the most of every opportunity? Come on. How many opportunities did you have yesterday? I love what Graham Cook does with changing your thinking. In Graham Cook's office, he has workers. And a worker will come into his office and say, we got a problem. The finances aren't here, and they're closing the door on Uganda right now, and they're taking all of our assets and all this. And he said, stop! I don't see Jesus right now. Go back. So he goes back. Puts on Jesus. Graham Cook, we have a wonderful possibility. Because a standard has risen against us in Uganda. But when a standard has risen against us in Uganda, when we build altars of light that shine in and we have our inheritance and we claim our inheritance, principalities and powers have to bow to the name of Jesus. And you activate it. And it blows down the doors because the light was shed on that. And I became the light, so I put on Jesus. And it feels like every single day of our life we have opportunities, whether we're going to look like Jesus or look like, let's just say something else, to be kind. Right? Every day we have a choice. This week we were reading with the kids when Joshua came into the promised land. God gave him a choice. He says, you can either follow me, I've led you, and he gave out a great resume. He just laid it out. And we were reading to the kids. Remember that? He says, I led you out of Egypt. You were in bondage. I provided for you. It sounded like a great resume. I'd hire him in a second. And he gave us all this rent. But when you come into this land, Choose who you're going to serve. You're either going to keep serving me, or there's other things in the land that you're going to pull off of and try to become part of you. And he said, make a choice. So when God sheds a light, and it's said here in his word, for a season of time, the Lord is going to shine his light, and he's going to manifest his presence to reveal areas where we have had idols. Let's just say it. Idols in our own life where we've misprioritized things. And he sheds it not to condemn us, right? But rather we could say, in this area in my home, we're shutting this down. In my own heart, I'm shutting this down. This is dead to me. Now I'm building an altar of life right here. Come on. And he's identifying them because there's hope in the calling of God in your life. Is there hope in anything else? We work on a lot of different things. But you see the futility of it. The older you get, I think you think about these things a little bit more. It's like, what am I doing? And God starts showing you. You say, wait a minute. I want to be fruitful, making the most, verse 16, of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, come on, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms. Oh, Danny, come on, start singing. Hymns and songs of the Spirit. Woo! Sing over. Isn't that a totally different mindset? Come on. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always, say always, giving thanks to God our Father for everything in his name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! So the Lord is sending a visitation on the earth, which would bring much healing to those who encounter it. And I will bring a renewal and a new life, says the Lord. This light will infuse the hearts of men for a season, and there will be an open door for the gospel. Come on. Men's hearts are turning. Just as quickly as I saw it open, it closed. And this got me thinking about timing. This concept that I got all the time. Ufta. Is that a Norwegian thing? Ufta. 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 Geesh. I want to go to... Luke. So here in, Jenny, could you help me quick? It's Luke, it's on the 10 virgins, but all I have is verse 1. I don't have any chapters. You guys help me quick. It's so impressing on me the timing of God, and there's a sense of urgency in the Spirit of God, not, again, of anxiety, but of importance and of value. There is such a sense of importance and value in the times we live in right now to respond to what God is saying. And I'm just moved in that, and I'm pressed in that. And the Lord brought this parable to me of the 10 virgins in explaining what he's doing in this time. Somebody have that for me? I thought it was in Luke. I have it here. Give me the Luke one, I think. Luke 12. Thank you. What's that? Matthew 25. Sounds like we're voting on Matthew 25:1. It's kind of their Bible study here. Yeah, that's what Google said.
chapter 25, verse, oh. Thank you. Oh. So at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins. So when they say 10 virgins, these are believers, okay? These aren't some in the world. These are believers. And there'll be 10 virgins who took their lamps. And I thought of this time change and carrying our lamps. I said, oh, that's why we're doing this. But they went out to meet him. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish one took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oils in jars along with their lamps. And the bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they had all become drowsy and fell asleep. Oh. And at midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." And all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go and sell. And go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went with him in the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others came, and, "Lord, Lord, open the door to us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day and hour." Half missed their time. We can miss our time. There's no guarantee, because we have choices every day. And the oil represents this. When he's refining, we make room. We make room and we're total sellouts for Jesus. And he starts identifying places in our lives that pull on us, that influence us, that take up space in us, that keep us from that day. And it occupies a space in me and it keeps me from the promise. And he identifies it. He says, "You know what? That's an idol. That is something that is a well of not life. You're not drawing off of my well. And you can't live off of my well." I like to think I'm a wonderful pastor and preacher, and I could take 50 people with me, and you could drink off of my well, but the truth is you can't. Part of the role of the church is to teach and equip and show every single one of you is that you have your own personal responsibility to you and your own well in your life. And it's about timing. Men, it's about timing. There are seasons and times in your life where it's time for you to answer the call when it comes about you and your kids. And the enemy rises a standard against you, and you need to address something, whether it's in your home, whether it's in a situation where you need to rise up and release the Spirit of God over a principality or a power or a demonic force. Yeah, there are demonic forces. Yes, there are. Come on. And they're after your kids, and they're after you. This is not a game. And they want you to sleep during the game. I don't know if you've ever had dreams, but I played sports. I like to think I was pretty good at sports. But there's this dream I have. I probably shouldn't share this dream, but I'm going to. I don't know why. I know how old I am in my dream. But it's the championship game in football. And I'm running around and I can't find my pads. And it's scary. I'm like, I got to get on the field. And it's game time. And I look back and I didn't get on the field because I kept looking for my doggone shoes. And I said, "What is that?" And that's the way we are in the church, and that's the way I'm in my life when I don't put on what God tells me to put on. When I don't build the altar to heaven in my own home or in my own personal heart, I'm not ready for game time. And I promise you this, Sometimes the devil knows more about the Bible than you do. When he says the gates of hell will not prevail against it, it's the church. It's men and women of God who put on their full armor, who put on the whole armor of God. You see, it's a choice. It's not condemnation, like you can't do this. But when he sheds light on it, he does show you the cost. You need to rise up. Because if you don't, there's a cost. Because you have influence and you have power. Don't give it up to something else. Don't surrender your power. Don't surrender your inheritance. Don't surrender what God died on the cross for every single one of us to have. Every single one of us has a right to sit next to Jesus on the throne room of God. You do. And I've been deceived. You've been deceived to thinking anything else but that. And he's revealing it not to shame you. I almost feel like a tenacity in the Spirit of God that rises up and says, this belongs to you, and this is trying to take away from you. And it's a season. There's a season and a moment of time where God is revealing that for us so that we can move in something. That we can reach up and take a hold of what really belongs to us. You want to change America? When it says here, it's opening the door for the gospel. You get a person hooked to Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit, I'll show you a changed America. Come on. History has proven it, hasn't it? They talk about the Great Awakenings. It wasn't, and I'm not against getting into politics at all. We should be. But my Savior isn't in the president. My Savior isn't in a certain congressperson. Not that we don't get involved, but that's not the Savior. It's Jesus Christ. Come on. And in it is an inheritance for you. Sometimes when God reveals something in me and in places where I've allowed things, I get mad. I got to be careful not to get mad at the people around me, but it's the devil because I've been deceived in things. Sometimes I don't show love so well, like he said here. Sometimes I'm not actually singing psalms over Danny's life. I might be saying something else. Come on. Even in my own life. Even in my own life, I don't sing psalms over my own life. Come on. And we think this is trivial, but it's actually the source of what a lot of our struggle is in this place. And he's refining that. Because he just prophesied. He says, I'm coming. And when he says the timing and the season is short, I don't want to, you know, what are we, procrastinators sometimes? And God's moving on something. And we get caught up in something and we don't move. But he's breaking it up because I love my children. See, love breaks through. And I don't care if I look stupid, because I probably do sometimes when I try to, you know, but I love them so much that I'm going to do whatever it takes. To be God's example, it said in the beginning in Ephesians, says, follow God's example. How ugly was it what Jesus went through for us? Maybe it needs to be that way, but the heart, one thing we don't argue is the heart of God in this place for people. The heart of God for people and to see him set free and delivered, but it starts with me. It starts with me and my house. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me, Jesus is Lord. It came so strong to me when I was praying in the Spirit, and I felt like I was facing principalities and powers in my own areas of influence. And I began to speak Jesus is Lord over my mind. I began to speak Jesus is Lord over my mind's will and emotions. I began to speak Jesus is Lord over people that I have influence over, that I need to make some decisions concerning. I said, Jesus is Lord. I'm not surrendering
my mind to the deception anymore, but Jesus is Lord over my mind. Jesus is Lord over my family. I began to speak that. Why? Because you say, why is it so important? We're God's example. He created the world with words. He did. And when we speak, there's power. When we come into agreement, there's power. We begin to release that thing, there's power. I'm going to be so thankful today. I'm going to be so thankful today. God, I'm so thankful that I went to church today. I hope you can say that. I am so thankful. And God, you're shedding light on things to reveal some things in our lives. Not to shame us, to blame us, but to set us free. To set us free. Do you want to be free this morning? Do you want your inheritance this morning? A few weeks ago, was it last week with the kids here? Such a strong prophetic word about this next generation and about our responsibility as parents. And the thing about when God speaks, then it's the moment where He lays it before us, and then we choose what we're going to do. And it's a heavy choice because we count the cost. Either I'm going to do it or I'm not going to do it. I lay before you life and death. And part of doing it is just taking a hold of that word and praying and asking God for wisdom. Part of that word is seeking the Lord for my family. One of the biggest things in my life is to raise up a standard saying I'm just not going to go. When we get older, this is what happens, guys, is we just have patterns that we just keep doing the same thing. And He stops it by His mercy, and He says, I want you to go buy a different altar in your house. Come to me every time. It's so good. So everybody shout and say, yeah, are you ready to go to war? Yes, I'm ready to go to war. But you need to get your armor on. Start out here. It says there's healing coming. Healing to those who encounter it. I believe God is bringing deep healing to our hearts and restoration to our hearts. When we go into battle and we're not whole, don't you think for one second that the enemy isn't tugging on issues in our lives. Doesn't he? He's relentless. So I go, fine, devil. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get healing. I'm going to put my shield on. And the Bible says to repent. And repent isn't a bad word. Repent is a great word. That I can actually do that. That I don't have to go sacrifice cows or any children or anything like that, but I can go before the throne room of God. And I can honestly say, God, I know that I have thought patterns in my life. I know there's addictions in my life, Father God, that I need to get rid of. Father God, I know it has to happen, and I'm sorry, and I need deliverance here, Lord. Send your deliverance, Lord God. Give me your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. Let you be the one I run to when I have a need. You are the one that I run to. You are the one in my life that I'm going to and drawing from. Come on. Come on. Father, let's just stand this morning. Father God, we thank you. Come on. We thank you for your Holy Spirit and your presence this morning. And we lift our hands and surrender. If you're watching at home, and you have been through some things, and you've searching for some answers, I'm telling you right now that our God is a God of intentional design. And He has a plan for your life. And we here are just so passionate about what God has called you to do and your identity in Him. What does God think about you? And I would repent for the behalf of the church if all that has come through when you come to this door is we've only talked about problems and pointed to the issues and the problems, and I have not released solutions and the promise of God over your life. That is not what the house is for. The house is a house for all people, that they might come to know God as the Father, that they might be set free from issues of life, and that they could have and know hope and the calling of God, that they have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in their lives. That the message of the gospel would come forth, that God is not dead, but His Son is truly alive. He's alive. He's alive. Live. And we got to wake up and live as children of the light, that we got some hope in this world, that we got some life in these bones, that we got hope. I haven't seen the finish line yet, but I know my God is good, and I'm going to rejoice always in the Lord. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be thankful, even though there are things that are not what I want them to be. My God can never fail. I'm being thankful. Come on. I decide. And as we stand fighting, Lord, the good fight of faith with the wisdom of God. I ask for the wisdom of God to reveal all these things, Lord. The things in my life, when I lift up my hands and surrender, Lord, my life belongs to you. Show me areas in my life that I need to repent from, that I have built things and unintentionally even. Fine. Take it all, Lord Jesus. That's fine. Because you're a good God. And you win. So I present myself here, the living sacrifice, holy to the Lord. We thank you, Father God. Come on, is he speaking to us this morning? Come on, is he speaking to you this morning? If you see some of the things, just pray for a moment. When God brings something to the surface, he wants us to release it unto him. Father, right now in the name, if you're watching at home and you're fighting things right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Come on, Savior that moves mountains. Father God, come into this place and let's remove this once and for all, Father God. And Lord, help me build, come on, build an altar of hope, life, and freedom in my very own heart, Lord Jesus. Come on, that the light is shining on, Father. And when it says, I want to be illuminated from the inside out, God, that light lives in me, Lord Jesus. Father, bring life to my home. God, help me establish a place of peace in my own soul. When my soul rises up, Father, that you become my peace and my fortress. Father, as a head of a home or a family, Lord, help me rise up to speak peace and life into my own home. God, I want to. I want to rise up. I want to take that authority you died for. That's me. Just lift my hands up and say, Lord, I want that. As a mother in a home who's fighting for children and feeling the pressure of trying to help your children and the situation, Father God, Lord Jesus. Come in like a flood of the Holy Spirit. And maybe all I have is a little bit of oil and a little bit of flour left. But the Lord says, I'm coming in to fill the pots. I'm coming in to fill every container with every need and everything. I'm coming in like a flood. Man, there's some of you just fighting so much for family. God says, maintain the fight. And I just, in the spirit of it, something is renewing our strength right now to take a hold of completely. Father, I pray for the wisdom of God right now and the Holy Spirit how to release life into families right now. There's a big thing right now with kids and families that are happening right now. And right now, in the name of Jesus, now you're ahead of your home or in that situation, we take authority of every principality and power in the name of Jesus. Come on, you're doing it over your life and your house. Right now, in the name of Jesus, every assignment, every deceptive word that is taken, in the name of Jesus, we bind that thing and we loose the Spirit of God right now to shed the light of truth and hope in the name of Jesus. Every single family member right here and into your grandkids and into your children right now, we are declaring that. Karabashi katarabasha. Come on, right now, in the name of Jesus. Come on. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Come on, declare it over every child. Jesus is Lord. Mind, will, and emotions. Jesus is Lord over the situation right now in this, my family right now, in Jesus' name. If you're watching at home, declare and decree, Jesus is Lord over me and my mind, in my house. Jesus, you are Lord. Karabashita right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. And I see you taking this poll. I saw it a few days ago, but this banner, and this represents the kingdom of God. God has given it to your hand, and you have authority where you walk. And I see men, women pounding that
into the ground of their level, area of influence. And that could be in your home and your workplace. You carry that, but there is this intentional thing of driving it into the ground in my own life, saying, this is where I'm going to stand. This is the authority. And I saw this in the Spirit. When you make that declaration, that sign, that banner over you is the love of God. That banner over you is the child of God. That banner of you is the son and daughter most, and the principalities recognize that, but you're taking that and you're putting it in the ground and you're saying, I'm taking my authority. I am taking my inheritance. I am making a stand. I am laying my life down. I will not allow that, and I'm taking my place. And you're establishing it and you're making a decision in your heart. This ground belongs to the Lord. Woo! This ground belongs to the Lord. You point to your own self. This ground belongs to the Lord. You are Lord. Karabashatira, breaking off every influence and tie that is contrary to the knowledge of God right now in Jesus' name. Woo! How are you guys doing? Karabashatira. Sandy, we're in some warfare here. I've been talking to families. I've been tired a little bit with the warfare. It drains on my physical body, and we need each other. Come on. We come to the house of the Lord, and we enter in worship. I know sometimes it takes us some time, but we need to enter into worship and thanksgiving. We need to pray for our worship leaders because they're on the front lines. Jamie, Sarah, your families are on the front lines. And we're here for you. And as elders, we recognize that because you guys are calling forth to heaven to touch and impact our lives and that their leadership. So, Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, God, this house is a house of worship. And you've called worship leaders in this house, Father. We lift up the families, Sarah and Isaac right now, and Jamie and Spencer. God, we set a hedge of protection. They are not alone. But there is an army that's raising up a standard, and we all here are part of that army. Jesus' name. I felt that was really important right now in this season of time. Woo. We need each other. We really do. We really need each other. So I thank you guys for going through the fire with me.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. For more, visit our website, communitychurchinternational.org. We invite you to join us next Sunday at 10 a.m. at the church 1 mile east of the college on Highway 1 in Thief River Falls, Minnesota. If you wish to support this ministry financially, you may give online on our website or on our free CCI Plus app. Thanks again for spending time with us today. Have a great day.